It is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for the Opera Box.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by 100 Nickel, providing live music, bowling, and arcade in Broomfield, Colorado at Shippers Lanes, offering a new concert experience that includes bowling and arcade. Ticket and information available at 100nickel.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome in the Opera Box at KGNU, the best seat in the house. I'm Ron Nadell. This evening, in recognition of Black History Month, I present part two of Divas of Color, the second of my programs to highlight a generation of sopranos who furthered the cause of racial diversity in the opera world, such as Leona Mitchell, here singing from Puccini's La Rondina. Plus Kathleen Battle, Barbara Hendrickson, Roberta Alexander, Maria Ewing, and Jesse Norman. Amazing singers with amazing stories if you join me now in the Opera Box. Che il bel sogno di Doretta. Who would guess Doretta's beautiful dream from Act One of Puccini's La Rondina, The Swallow? Magda improvises a verse to a song by the poet Prunier when he's unable to complete it himself. With Leona Mitchell as Doretta, as Magda, and Kurt Adler conducted the National Philharmonic. It's 4.5 minutes after the hour, and if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm Ron Nadell with a playlist featuring the second generation of divas of color. Leona Mitchell was born in Enid, Oklahoma in 1949, the 10th of 15 children. Her ability to sing was recognized when she was a girl in the church choir. After attending a private Methodist college, she was accepted to Juilliard. She debuted in 1973 in San Francisco as Carmen, and then the Met in 1975 again as Carmen. She sang Bess in the first full recording of Porgy and Bess in 1976, earning a Grammy. Her clear, rich voice was very well suited to the dramatic roles of Puccini and Verdi, and she spent 18 seasons at the Met. Listen to this great example of that voice as Elvira in Verdi's Ernani. Elvira loves Ernani and hopes he can rescue her, or she'll have to marry Don Da Silva. Ernani, Involami, Rescue Me. We heard the great Leona Mitchell with Kurt Adler conducting the National Philharmonic Orchestra. It's all part of my program featuring a second generation of divas of color. Now, tonight's divas are some of the greatest singers of the 20th century, but their successes were made possible by the first generation of divas of color, singers who overcame Jim Crow prejudice before, during, and after World War II, denied access to colleges and white audiences, singers such as Marian Anderson, Shirley Verrett, Rary Grist, Leontine Price, Grace Bunbury, and Mattie Wilda Dobbs, all of whom I featured on my program 2 weeks ago. Dobbs advanced her career in a way that became a model for the next generation. She went to Europe to build her reputation, avoiding overt prejudice in the United States. Although the next generation had access to college and integrated audiences, they still faced passive resistance to general acceptance. Many of tonight's singers followed Dobbs' example, as you'll hear. Starting with Jessie Norman, she was born in Augusta, Georgia, and lived from 1945 to 2019. She pursued a career in music because she was greatly inspired by Leontine Price, who was greatly inspired by Marian Anderson. Norman was recognized for her intelligent interpretations and an imposing, resonant voice. Like Dobbs, her career bloomed first in Europe, in Germany and Italy in the 1970s. Those first successes in Germany resulted in her reputation in German repertoire. For example, here she is in Wagner's Lohengrin in the role of Elsa von Brabant. Her brother, the Duke, disappeared. Elsa's accused of murdering him. In her Act I aria, she says she has prayed to heaven for help in proving her innocence. Elsa has prayed to heaven to help prove her innocence from Act I of Wagner's Lohengrin with Jesse Norman, and Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. After her successes in Europe, Norman debuted at the Metropolitan Opera in 1983. She was sometimes criticized for her exaggerated mannerisms, but her voice was phenomenal in size, range, and color, and her diction was precise. It was inevitable that she'd appear in the roles that were made famous by her idol, Leontine Price. And so here is Jesse Norman as Aida, the enslaved Ethiopian princess, in her aria Patria Mia. She loves the Egyptian general Rhadames, but fears for her country.
Thank you.
Aida, torn between love of her country and love for an Egyptian soldier. With Jesse Norman, Nino Sanzogno conducted the orchestra of the French radio and television. It's 20 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadel, and I've got a playlist of music featuring the second generation of divas of color. Now, Kathleen Battle also started her career in Europe. She was born in Portsmouth, Ohio in 1948, the youngest of seven children. Like many others, her voice was recognized at an early age, singing in her Baptist choir. She majored in music education and taught public school after getting her master's degree. But in 1972, she was encouraged to attend the auditions held by the conductor Thomas Shippers, and he immediately engaged her as a soloist in his upcoming concerts in Italy. Within a few years, she was back singing in the United States, praised for a light and delicate soprano. Her opera debut occurred in 1975 as Rosina in Rossini's Barber of Seville. Listen to Rosina's Act One aria, showing Kathleen Battle's expressiveness as Rosina is emboldened to make her love for a student known to her guardian.
Prima di cedere, farò giocare, farò giocare.
Oh, the great Kathleen Battle as Rosina, who has fallen in love with who she thinks is a poor student, from Act One of Rossini's Barber of Seville, with Claudio Abbado conducting the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. Well, Battle's international career really took off in the 80s. But by the 90s, she began to be seen as eccentric and became difficult to work with. When the Met fired her in 1994, she transitioned as a recitals and recording artist. But here she is one more time as Zerlina in her Act One aria from Mozart's Don Giovanni. Her fiancé, Masetto, saw Don Giovanni flirt with her, and she tries to reassure him. Oh, the young peasant girl, Zerlina, trying to reassure her fiancé from Mozart's Don Giovanni, with Herbert von Karajan conducting the Berlin Philharmonic. It's all part of my program highlighting divas of color for Black History Month. Barbara Hendricks also debuted in Europe and then based her life and activity there. She was born in Stevens, Arkansas in 1948 and took voice lessons as a young girl. But in college, she majored in math and chemistry, graduating at 20 from the University of Nebraska. It was then that she changed to music, earning a bachelor's degree in music at Juilliard, studying with Jenny Terrell and Maria Callas. Her operatic debut came in 1974 at Glyndebourne Opera. With a light touch as well as richness, her voice spanned the range of Mozart to Verdi. Take this aria as Ilia from Mozart's Idomeneo, perhaps Mozart's most dramatic opera. Ilia is the daughter of the Trojan king Priam, but she loves Prince Idomeneo from Crete. In this aria, she acknowledges her father and brothers will disown her.
Oh.
The daughter of the Trojan King is in love with the prince from Crete, with Barbara Hendricks, and Colin Davis conducted the Bavarian Radio Orchestra. That's from Mozart's Idomeneo. Well, Barbara Hendricks built an international reputation and focused more on Europe. She married a Swedish citizen in 1977, moved to Sweden, and became a citizen. Roberta Alexander is another singer who made a life for herself first in Europe. Alexander was born into a musical family in Lynchburg, Virginia, in 1949. She studied music at the Central State University and Michigan University at Ann Arbor, and then the Royal Conservatory in the Netherlands, which became her home in 1972. She made her operatic debut there in 1975 in Rossini's comedy, The Marriage Contract. She then appeared as Elektra in Mozart's Idomeneo in Berlin and Zurich. Her American debut wasn't until 1980 in Mozart's Magic Flute in Houston. She has a wide variety of musical activities, including jazz, art song, and avant-garde music. In 2004, she sang in the premiere of the operatic adaptation of Angels in America. Listen to her now as Elektra in Mozart's Idomeneo. She also loves Idamante, and her jealous rage is aroused by Ilya. But then later, she is elated to learn that Idamante will accompany her to Argos.
Thank you.
the great Roberta Alexander as Electra, jealous of Ilya, who also loves Idamante. She's later overjoyed to learn that Idamante will go with her to Argos. That's from Mozart's Idomeneo, with Colin Davis conducting the Bavarian Radio Orchestra. Well, the last diva from the second generation from my program is Maria Ewing, who passed away just this last January 9th. Ewing was born in Detroit, Michigan in 1950. Her mother was Dutch, and her father said he was Native American of Sioux descent. But Ewing later learned that her father was the son of a former slave. She was discovered by James Levine in an audition for an Oakland University music festival. He was particularly taken by her powerful expressiveness and her acting ability. She went on to study with Levine at the Cleveland Conservatory of Music, and she made her stage debut in 1970 in Rossini's Barber of Seville in Detroit. But she soon became known for compelling performances of opera's more extreme characters, such as Salome, Carmen, and Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk. These are strong, erotically charged roles. And then she became the focus of controversy in 1993 with her performances of Salome, where Ewing performed the Dance of the Seven Veils, ending with full frontal nudity. Well, you can hear how she fully occupies her characters in an aria from Act One of Shostakovich's Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk, the opera that was personally banned by Stalin. Katerina is a bored and uneducated wife of a merchant. She can't even read. He doesn't give her enough attention, and he's always away on business. Her boorish father-in-law lives with them and orders her to go to sleep early every night. In this aria, as she undresses for bed, she laments her situation. Stallions chase after mares, and tomcats prowl for tabbies. But no one comes for me, she says. Ewing brings this unhappy and coarse character fully to life.
Stop me.
Katerina laments her passionless sex life. Later, she will murder her controlling boorish father-in-law with rat poison. From Shostakovich's Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk. It's a great example of Maria Ewing's expressive characterizations, with Myung-Whun Chung conducting the Paris Opera Orchestra. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you all for keeping me company here in KGNU's Opera Box, and my tribute to the second generation of divas of color in honor of Black History Month. Now, stay tuned for A Classic Monday and your host, Gary McBride.
In 2016, amid an epidemic of police shootings of African Americans, NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick began protesting on the field, refusing to stand during the national anthem. Kaepernick's taking a knee spread like wildfire throughout American society. Tune in to KGNU's A Public Affair Wednesday, March 9th at 8:30 a.m., when we speak with sports editor for The Nation magazine, Dave Zirin, about his book, The Kaepernick Effect, which chronicles accounts of activism and courage, both on and off the field, from a broad cross-section of professional, college, and high school athletes and coaches. That's A Public Affair on KGNU, 8:30 a.m., Wednesday, March 9th.
Here's a way to simplify your life. Donate that vehicle you no longer need to help us bring you more great community radio. It's easy and free to you. Here's how to get started. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or go to kgnu.org.
Hi, I'm David Barsamyan, calling all KGNU listeners. Opportunity awaits you. It's KGNU's Spring Fun Drive. Let's have some fun, too. It's all starting on March 5th through the 13th. Support community radio KGNU, an incomparable audio resource. Tune in for a very special edition of Alternative Radio on Wednesday, March 9th at 6 p.m.
It's coming up on 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, A Classic Monday.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by 100 Nickel, providing live music, bowling, and arcade in Broomfield, Colorado at Shippers Lanes, offering a new concert experience that includes bowling and arcade. Ticketed information available at 100nickel.com.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, music by Aldo Finzi, Valerie Coleman, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, Carl Nielsen, and Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. And to begin, the video game machine that is the Final Fantasy series is immense. It extends beyond gamers and into the concert hall. So popular is its music, composed by Nobuo Uematsu, that orchestras, even like our own Colorado Symphony and Chorus, are performing Uematsu's music in two concerts next month, March 18th and 19th, at Betcher Concert Hall in downtown Denver. Now, I understand classical music snobs may look down their noses at video game music, but in recent years, we've seen a lot of crossover across genres, and the compositional and production quality keeps increasing. Although this qualifies as popular music, I've selected three short pieces from the Final Fantasy soundtracks that clearly show their classical influences. First, from Final Fantasy X, a piano solo reminiscent of Michael Nyman. From FF8, a choral work clearly inspired by Carl Orff. And to conclude, the Final Fantasy main theme, which owes quite a lot to the works of Edward Elgar.